Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Titus. Before I get started, let me say this. If you are a visitor here this morning, I appreciate you being here. I really do. But in all seriousness, please come back and hear our pastor preach Wednesday. He'll be out tonight as well. Another man will be filling in. It'll be wonderful. But come back and meet our pastor. And if you are visiting, out in the information desk right out here, there are you'll see some cups there. They say, making much of Jesus. That's sort of a theme of our church. And we bought those for you. So if you're a visitor, make sure you grab one of those on your way out, please. They're right out here behind the doors on your way out. You can't miss them. Titus chapter 2. I want to talk to you about the appearance of the glory. The appearance of the glory. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Look at verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." June 2nd, 1996, at 3:03 p.m., Captain Scott O'Grady is flying a mission over Bosnia when all of a sudden a surface-to-air missile struck his plane and destroys it, rips it in two. He reaches for the ejection rod and he pulls it out, and immediately he's ejected from his plane. And momentarily, he's going down in a parachute over the hostile land of Bosnia. He immediately starts to go over his mind the training that he's had for search and rescue procedures. And as he's going down, he remembers that he's got a survival kit. He remembers he's got camouflage netting. He remembers he's got a medical kit and some water and some flares. And also, he's got his radio. Just a few seconds, he lands on the ground and he makes his evasion shelter. And then he starts to make contact with his radio. First of all, he contacts the global positioning system and to send them his coordinates of his location. And then he calls out, seeking for an answer for somebody that will bring him a rescue. Anyone, Basher 5-2. Anyone, Basher 5-2. There is no answer. What Captain Scott O'Grady doesn't know, that very soon, our United Forces will soon be gathering about $6 billion worth of machinery and weapons to make plans and preparations for one of the greatest rescue missions in my lifetime. And he doesn't know that. But for 6 days, Captain Scott O'Grady, he's trying to survive off the land and he's trying to evade the hostile forces of the Bosnian military. He's looking for rescue, friends. His eyes are on the skies. He's looking for some type of blessed hope and some kind of glorious appearing of a rescue package. And friend, whether you realize it or not, today you and I are living in hostile territory. Let us not forget that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Friends, we're in hostile territory. We're looking for the blessed hope. We're looking for the glorious appearing. And the Bible says here in verse 13, Titus 2, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Now, think about it. I'm not an English person. I'm a math nerd. But I do know, Miss Laura, that is a conjunction, correct? So if it's wrong, you can take it up with her, right? It's a conjunction. And it connects. There's a connection there that the blessed hope and the glorious appearing, they're both the same thing. Our blessed hope, it is the glorious appearing. Or our blessed hope, it is that glorious appearing. The wording here is interesting. When you study this out, and I'm not a Greek major nor anything like that, but you can study it out. But what it's saying here, the wording, it's interesting because the phrase "the glorious appearing" also means the appearance of the glory. Now you think about that. The appearance of the glory. The word glory, it's used to describe the very manifestation of God Himself. When the invisible God, and whether it be all throughout the Bible, when He chooses to reveal Himself, the word that's used there a lot of times is glory. Friends, whatever God does is glory. Wherever God is, it's glory. Whatever He does is glorious, right? You can get a glimpse of glory all throughout the Word of God. Over in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His," what? Glory. His glory. Yeah. "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." But now when we study the word glory, I want you to notice, and this is where we're going to park for a while, I want you to understand the future dimension that it offers for us. Now think about that. What lies ahead for us? The Bible says, Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. That hasn't happened yet. When He shall come in His glory and the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Many texts, including the one that I have here in Titus 2, they support this. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about the appearance of the glory. We understand that this mainly is referring to the Lord coming back, the visible manifestation of God. But I want you to think about a couple extra aspects. As I talk to you about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing, I got 3 points. That's it. Glory is a process. Glory is a place. And of course, glory is a person. And we'll be done. That's it. Amen? We're all happy? All right. Gee, you're thinking of lunch already. Cut it out. We're talking about glory for a little bit. Amen? Focus on this. Glory is a process. Now think about this. A process. We're looking for a future transformation. Let me ask you something. How many of y'all sinned this morning? I'll call you out if you don't put your hands up. Come on. You're lying. Come on now. I haven't studied this, nor can I prove it, but I have heard some other preachers that I trust say this. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I've heard them say that they believe that before man fell, that Adam and Eve was clothed in God's glory. And that they were and I haven't studied that, but I do know this. When sin entered in, Bible says man fell short of what? The glory of God. Romans 3:20, we've fallen short. But then one gets saved, and the Bible tells us and teaches us that God starts to restore the glory. His glory. Did you know that every salvation is glorious? Think about that. Now, I've known, like me, I'm saved. Hey, how about me? Saved when I was 17 years old. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up knowing the books of the Bible or knowing anything about God. And I got involved into a lot of sin. I really did. And I'm not going to go in all that. But when God saved me as a 17-year-old boy, Jesus Christ came into my heart. It was a glorious experience. Now, you may have a different testimony. You may have a testimony that your mom and dad raised you in church, that you was in, you know, you was every service, you know, and all this stuff, and you were saved when you was 4 years old, and you hadn't become a, you know, in a lot of sin at that point, but it's still glorious. When you think about you and me being a wretched sinner and Jesus Christ coming inside of us, and it's a glorious experience. The Bible says in Psalms 21:5, His glory is great in thy salvation. Friend, do you remember when the glory came in? Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when Jesus Christ came inside and took your sin away, wiped it away? Do you remember that? Psalms 84:11 says, the Lord will give grace and glory. The Lord will give grace and glory. I challenge you to do something. Whenever you see the word grace, or whenever you see grace demonstrated in the Bible, hang on, because glory is fixing to show up. It's like a pattern. It's one of those things I hadn't noticed before. And then all of a sudden you see it and you're studying it and it's there. The Bible says in Romans 8:30, moreover, let me try that in English, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them also He glorified. Did you know, and that's in the aorist tense, which means that it's just as good as it's already done. You know, I'm already glorified in the sight of God. And friends, if you're saved, if you've been born again, you've already got the glory of God. You're already sitting with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Nothing can change that, amen? When you get saved, you're guaranteed of His glory forever. Friends, it's glorious to be saved. When you get saved, all of a sudden a process starts that moves you from glory to glory. Now let me explain that. Bible says in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But you know, we got this process called sanctification that we wrestle with, do we not? How many of y'all's flesh tried to rear up this morning? I know mine did. 6:30 when that alarm went off, I said, nope, not happening. I got one button wore out on my alarm clock. That's the snooze button. That's it. The flesh is strong, is it not? And we got to work on that. Now, there's tools that God uses to get the glory out. One is the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You remember when Moses went up on the mount to be with God. He came down and his face was shining with the glory of God, but it was a glory that faded away, right? It didn't say like that. It faded away. He wasn't there yet, right? But understand this. We can have a glory every single day. You may go to a missions conference, or you may have a revival or something like that, and you get all worked up about the Word of God. You say, man, I'm confessing this sin, I'm getting away. And what happens? 3 days later, the old flesh wears up again. So it rears its head. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, it happens. And you make a commitment. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Lasts for about a week. The flesh. Listen, am I the only one this happens to? It happens. By the way, I read my Bible, okay? Calm down. Calm down. Y'all looking at me. Come on. But I want to tell you, you can have your own revival meeting with God every morning. Every evening. You can meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can get that sanctification process. God will work that through the Word of God. As a child of God looks into the Word of God, he sees the Son of God and is changed by the Spirit of God from glory unto glory. God uses his Word to get the glory out, but I want you to notice also, sometimes God chooses suffering to get the glory out. That's hard. That's hard, is it not? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, let me stop there. He says our light affliction. Sure doesn't seem light, does it? Sure doesn't seem light when it's your health that fails, when it's your marriage that's on the brink of failure, when you've got a troubled teenager that's involved in drugs. It doesn't seem light when your career's failing, when you've lost a loved one, when you've got a handicap. It doesn't seem light, does it? When you've got money problems. Paul here said, our light affliction. And then he says, which is but for a moment. You know, it don't seem like it's but for a moment, does it? When it's the same thing day after day after day after day. It doesn't seem like it's but for a moment. But you know what God's Word says? God's Word says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God said, hey, I've got this in your life, and friend, let it work for you. Let it do something to sanctify you, to get you from glory unto glory, so that you can be like the image of Christ. God says, I've got a purpose for it. I've got a reason for it, and don't miss out on the blessing. He said, I got something for you. It's working for you. God said, what you're going through, friend, it's just a part of the process to get the glory out. Think of Joseph. Think what Joseph went through. Sold into slavery, went to prison. Reputation was soiled by Potiphar's wife. But after all that was said, I love what was said. Genesis 25:13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. Glory is a process. The Bible tells us it's a slow growth. I was telling my kids the other day, I said, you know what, when I got saved, I had a lot of sin. And I said, I'm still a sinner, but I don't have as much as I used to have. I'm closer to the Lord now. And it should be like that, right? We should grow. It should be a growth. But the Bible teaches us that one day, that process is going to happen. It's the future dimension of that glory. It's going to happen just like that. I'm going to be like Jesus. Friends, if you're saved, you're going to be like Jesus. But long, we ain't going to have to worry about that old heart quitting again. We're going to be like the Lord, amen? We're going to be like Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:43, it, talking about the body, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. We will be like Jesus. It's been 4 days, and Captain Scott O'Grady, he sends out distress signals, and he hears a soft crackle voice over the radio, Basher 5-2, this is Flashman. Do you hear me? Captain Scott O'Grady, he says, they're talking to me. They're looking for me. He said, they know I'm here. They're looking for me. He gets all excited. Friends, I want to tell you something. Some of you have family members that are in heaven. Some of you got friends. Some of you got mothers and fathers and loved ones that are all up in glory. And I do too. And they're getting ready. It won't be long. Can you hang on a little bit longer? It won't be long, friends. It won't be long. He's coming back. Glory is a process. We're looking for a future transformation to where I will be like Him. Glory is also a place. It's a place. We're looking for a future destination, amen. We're going somewhere. We're going to get on up out of here. Bible says in Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Glory's a place. There's a lot of wonderful words in the Bible that describe heaven, heaven itself, Beulah land, a house not made with hands, but one of the best ones is glory. We're going to glory, friends. Just like Abraham, we're looking for a city. I heard this said, we're not vagabonds without a home. We're not fugitives running from home. We're pilgrims and we're headed home. We're going to a place, friend. We're not going to be around here. We're going to get. When all my labors and trials are over and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through all the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. Friends, we're going somewhere. Heaven is going to be a beautiful place. John tries to describe it in the book of Revelation, but it's almost as if the language is insufficient. He can't do it, you know? It's going to be a beautiful place. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Friend, are you going to glory? Now you think about that. In 120 years, you're going to be somewhere. You're going to be somewhere. You'll either be in heaven or you'll be in hell. Now you need to ask yourself, do I know for sure? Am I 100% sure that I know that I know that I know that if I died right now, I'm going to heaven? Friends, that's what it's all about. If you're not 100% sure of that, well, I'd love to show you from the Bible, from that, or have somebody show you. We would. That is the most important thing that's going on this morning, is for you to know that you're going to heaven. It's the fifth day now. Captain Scott O'Grady, he's run out of water. He's sponging off of what little rain that has come down, and he's eating ants and leaves just to sustain his life. He's discouraged. He's weary. Then all of a sudden, he hears on his radio, this is Basher 1, over. This is Basher 1. We are looking for Basher 5, 2. He can't talk much above a whisper because the enemy's just right around the side here, so he can't really yell out. But he wants to shout, and he almost does because of excitement, and he whispers into the radio, I'm alive. I'm alive. He starts to think, they're coming to take me home. He was interviewed on CNN for this, and y'all can look it up there, but in History Channel and some other things. But he said he got goosebumps all over. He said, I wanted to laugh and scream and cry all at the same time. His words, he said, I felt like I'd been born again. That's what he said. Now, I don't know if he's a Christian, but put yourself in that situation. You don't know when he's coming. You're desperate. You're tired. You're weary. The enemy's all around. All you want is to go home. Your eyes are on the skies. He said, you must be. He said, I felt like I'd been born again. Friends, if you want to go to glory when you die, if you want to be glory bound, you have to be glory born. If you want to be heaven bound, you got to be heaven born. Ye must be born again in John 3:7. The word there is anathen. It means born from above. You can't get into glory until glory gets into you. There's no other way. Your works ain't going to do it. Jesus said, you must be born again. Heaven is glory. Glory is a process. Glory is a place. And I want to end. Glory is a person. We're looking for a future revelation. The appearance of the glory is the visible manifestation of God Himself. Look in verse 13 of our text. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The appearance of the glory is the appearance of the great God. And the appearance of the great God is the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back. I want you to notice something that I missed. I've got this verse memorized, and I never did understand. I just kept missing it. I want you to notice there's two appearings in our text. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. to all men. So you've got verse 11, the grace of God that hath appeared. You've got verse 13, the glorious appearing of the great God. Now think about this. You've got the grace, and then you've got the glorious appearing of the great God, or the appearance of the glory. Right? It follows right after it. Jesus appeared one time in grace. Hundreds of years there had not been any glory on the earth. And the shepherds were on a hillside one night, and you know what? The glory of the Lord showed up. The glory of the Lord showed up. Bible says in Luke 2, and suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They looked inside and beheld the glory of God, not wrapped in the Shekinah glory, but wrapped in swaddling clothes. John said in John 1:14, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But friend, there had to be a cross. And so the glory had to go to the cross. And Paul said in Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. He was our mercy seat. He died on the cross for you, and He died on the cross for me. Friends, He took our punishment. He paid the price for us. And the Bible says He died, and 3 days later He rose up, because you can't keep the glory of God in a tomb. Amen. He came out. The Bible says, Romans 6, chapter 4, Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. 40 days later, the glory cloud came for the glory man, and they took him to the glory land for the glorious celebration. That's not mine, but I'm going to say it. Amen? Friend, there was His appearance in grace, but there's also His appearance in glory. Jesus said in John chapter 14, remember He said, I got to go away for a little bit. But He said, you just hang tight. He said, I'm coming back. Jesus gave His word. We have it wrote down here. We have the word of God, a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ that He's not going to leave us, that He's coming back for us. O'Grady knows that there's somebody coming for him now. That hope starts to build up. Did you know that when Jesus returns at the appearance of the glory, that we're going to share His glory with Him? Now I want you to think about this. In Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. We're going to be with Him in glory. Not only will we share His glory, but we're going to see God's glory. In 1 John 3:2, think of this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. That's that process of sanctification we talked about, right? We shall see Him as He is. Friends, you may have seen some beautiful things in your life. You may have seen the Grand Canyon. You may have seen the Swiss Alps. You may have seen Yosemite National Park or Yellowstone or whatever, but never, 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 never have you seen the glory. Heaven's not about the saints, it's about Him. It's not about the gates, it's about Jesus. It's not about the jasper walls, it's about Christ. It'll be Him. It'll be Him. We get to see Him. It's not just the streets of gold, it's the appearance of the glory. Can you imagine that? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I heard a preacher tell me one time, and I wrote it down. It says, he said he believed that the sweetest word in all the Bible was Jesus. You can't argue with that, can you? The two sweetest words in the Bible, he said, was Jesus wept. Shows God's compassion, does it not? The three sweetest words in the Bible is God is love. He said he believed the four sweetest words in the Bible was Christ died for us. But friends, I tell you, the five sweetest words in the Bible, Revelation 22:4, they shall see His face. You're going to see the Lord. He's going to show up. Two things have been established now. One, Captain Scott O'Grady is alive. He is alive. Secondly, that they've established a pickup point to where he would meet them. It's the sixth day now, and over the radio comes a message. Stay hidden and get ready to mark. You will be rescued. You will be rescued. 4:10 a.m., he comes to the edge of a small clearing. The message comes in. The assets are airborne. Everything is scrambled. We're throwing everything we got at you. It's only a matter of time. 5:45 a.m. He says, the package is inbound. They'll be over your position in the next 10 to 15 minutes. His eyes are on the skies. 6 a.m. He hears a very familiar sound of two F-18 Hornets. They're coming low. They're coming fast. They're streaking straight towards him. Some of y'all got scared. They've combined all the coordinates now for the package to come. The fog is lifting and the clouds are breaking up. 6:35, he hears a message. They are coming in. Stand by. He hears a thumping sound at first. It turns into a hollow chopping sound of the helicopters. They set down in the clearing and Marines spread out everywhere to provide protection and secure the area. O'Grady says, they've come for me. They've come for me. He starts running towards the helicopters and he stops in front of a Marine sergeant and he gets permission to advance. The sergeant waves him to come on in. He runs and he runs and he runs and he runs and he lands in the helicopter and he has but two words to say. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One of these days. One of these days, friends. It's 6 a.m. in the morning and you're having your daily Bible reading with the Lord. And you're reading that morning is looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 6:02 a.m. you bow your head and you pray, even so come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. 6:02.1. The Father looks over to the Son and says, is the rescue package ready? The Son says, Father, it's ready. And God the Father looks over to the Son and says, throw everything you've got at them. Go and get them. That's my children. 6:02.2. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And dead believers burst through their graves saying, O grave, where is thy victory? Living believers start singing, O death, where is thy sting? The clouds evaporate, the appearance of the glory. We look out and all we can see is it's Him. It's Him. It's Him. He's coming back. Let's stand.